Morning Prayer Warriors. Hey, Mark here, and I hope you're having just an absolutely amazing week and amazing summer. Let's just start this off today with just a quick word of prayer. Dear Lord, just guide us today. Guide us this week. Open our hearts to your word that has just been showered upon millions and millions over the decades, the centuries. Let us keep it in our hearts. Let us share it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, I've got a great story today, and it kind of starts off, if you take a look at John 3:16. So if you know, everybody knows that by heart, and it's really that setting that I want to share it with you, because it's applicable to all of our lives and was applicable to this young man's heart that we're going to talk about today. And so here's Nicodemus. He put himself in Nicodemus's place. He's a Pharisee. He's very well educated. He's very rich. He's got it all going for him. And there's this Jesus guy there in Jerusalem, and he's getting the feeling that there's something different about this guy named Jesus. And so, you know, and the Pharisees are calling out Jesus, saying, he's wicked, he's evil. But Nicodemus is saying there's something more. And so, you know, he kind of sneaks away at night and meets up with Jesus there in Jerusalem. And they sit down and they talk. And Jesus is sharing all of this insight. And it's huge insight if you really study chapter 3 of John. And maybe John was in the background. You know, he was the beloved of Jesus. Maybe he's taken notes just as a faithful scribe, as a faithful disciple. But it's some huge things. And then when Jesus tells Nicodemus, and he almost speaks in the past tense of for God so loved the world that he gave, past tense, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, if I was Nicodemus, I would just, you know, at that time in history, I'd say, I still don't get it. I just don't get it. But because what we have seen in history, we get it. And that's why I want to talk today about a young man named Dwight. He was born, 1837, so quite a few years ago, and there in Massachusetts, and he was in his family, a poor family, just a dirt poor family, 9 kids, and after the last 2 kids, numbers 8 and 9 were born, dad dies. And so here's this mom with 9 kids, dirt poor. She is struggling in New England there in Massachusetts. And as soon as the kids were old enough, she would send them off to work. She sent off Dwight. And as soon as he was old enough to work, Dwight comes home. Mom, you know, she sends him out to work for room and board. And they're feeding him 3 squares away, giving him a cot. And he comes home. Mom, I'm working so hard and they're starving me. She says, well, what do you have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And are you sleeping on someplace warm? Well, yes, Mom. He goes, get back to work. She was a great mom. And so anyway, when Dwight becomes 17, he finally goes to Boston, gets a job with his uncle, and his uncle has a shoe store. And he found his calling. This young man could sell shoes. He was amazing at it. He had that customer service. He had that aura about him. And he stood outside this little congregational church of Mount Vernon and turned around and he kind of struck up a friendship with the pastor there, Edward Kimball. So one day, you know, Dwight turns 18 and, you know, Edward Kimball, Pastor Kimball, comes in and meets him in the shoe store, and they're talking in the back room, and he shares, you know, the gospel with him. And he says, young man, would you like to accept Christ as your personal savior? And that was step number 1 in D.L. Moody's life. At the age of 18, he becomes a Christian, and he's not only the best shoe salesman, but he's a young Christian, and he's on fire for God. And this kid's big. I mean, he's well over 6 feet tall, over 200 pounds. He is just a huge guy, and he's on fire for Christ, and he's on fire for selling shoes, and he moves to Chicago. There at the age of 19, this young man was making $5,000 a year selling shoes. And the average income at those days was less than $1,000 a year. So he has just, he's hitting home runs, and he's living in the YMCA. And he's got a preacher a couple of years older than he is running the YMCA and says, hey, I want you to take over youth ministry. And that was just a wide open field. There were tons of orphans. Because of the poor families, they couldn't feed anybody. They would give them up to orphanages at the time. And so D.L. Moody started teaching these young kids, and he just loved on these kids. He was doing classes for them and sharing the gospel with them, and then he was sharing the gospel with anybody else who would listen. And then 1861, what happens? It's a civil war. But D.L. Moody, he was on fire for Christ, and he leaves the YMCA, he leaves selling shoes, and he's full-time for the gospel. He is sharing the gospel with the Union, the Confederates, the blue and the gray, the North and the South. He didn't care who would listen. But in the middle of the war, he is out there bringing people to Christ. He is one of those amazing evangelists, and it was because he had a heart for Christ. Even then, after the Civil War in 1871, here he is, you know, in Chicago, and he's doing well. Chicago burns to the ground. An entire city burns to the ground. Whether it was Mrs. O'Leary's gal kicking over the lantern or something else, 1871, Chicago burns to the ground. But D.L. Moody, and it was to include his small church that he was supporting, everything is gone. But he continued because he was going to overcome, and he obeyed Christ. You know how God says in Matthew 28:19, go to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. So D.L. Moody did. He went to England, and he started an evangelism program out there, and he was preaching in the tents, and the tents were overflowing, so he went into the big halls. Those huge halls up there could seat 10 to 15,000 people around London. He would pack them in. He went all over England preaching the word of Christ, and what did he do? He was bringing tens of thousands of people to Christ. He even went to Ireland where they were fighting the North and the South. Once again, the Catholics and the Protestants, they said, don't go, it's dangerous. He said, no, God is driving me there. So in this time, he comes back to the United States, moves to Massachusetts, sets up orphanages for young boys. He sets up schools for young women. D.L. Moody Institute came out of that in Chicago as well. So he's educating everybody. And even when he died at the age of 62, all 200 pounds of him was dedicated to God. They say over his 44 years, he led a million people to Christ. 44 years. His favorite saying was, faith makes all things possible. Love makes all things easy. Faith and love. That's what we've got. And so our question today is, do you have a 19-year-old out there that you can share the gospel with? Do you have a young man or a young woman out there you can share the gospel with? That somebody is seeking, like a Nicodemus, that needs to be discussed with the gospel, the love and the faith. I challenge you that even to go to the ends of the world, here in our neighborhoods, we've got nearly 24 languages spoken. You go to the elementary schools, you don't have to go to England, you don't have to go to Africa. It's right here in southern Idaho. So I challenge you, find that young man or that young woman, get involved in their lives, maybe just have that around the campfire discussion with them. Open their hearts to the gospel of Christ. Thank you, prayer warriors. Keep on praying. You're absolutely amazing. Thank you.